Welcome to the PayFac Embedded Payments Podcast, brought to you by Payrix. As payments and software experts that eat, sleep, and breathe embedded payments, we're as passionate about you as you are about your customers. Each podcast episode will provide insights about embedded payments designed to help you fuel the transformation and growth of your software business. You'll learn from industry experts, Payrix customers, and leaders on the Payrix team about the latest trends, best practices, and real-world guidance from payments experts to help you take your software platform higher.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the PayFac, the Embedded Payments Podcast brought to you by Payrix and World Pay for Platforms. I'm your host, Bob Butler, and today I'm really excited to be speaking with Ian Hillis, the Senior Vice President of Growth over here at World Pay for Platforms. And what we're going to be talking about is the outlook for embedded payments in 2024. Hi, Ian. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Really excited to chat today.
Likewise. Hey, before we get started, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your software and payments background?
Sure. So I lead the growth team at World Pay for Platforms, of which Payrix is one of the segments that I oversee. And I've spent the last decade building strategies in the software-led payments market in particular. And it's been a blast to watch the evolution of this market, given how quickly everything continues to change. My focus is really on how do we design strategies for our software partners and then think about the successful execution of those strategies.
So as you look back in the past few years, like you've been talking, what do you think has been the most transformative sort of experiences? What's happened within embedded payments in 2023?
Yeah, great question, Bob. So I think to answer that, let's start and just take a step back. Maybe let's go back 4 years. And what we've seen a lot of is the increasing verticalization of software used by SMBs to run their businesses. And that's been called multiple things over the years. Recently, A16Z wrote an article calling them vertical OSs. So for consistency, let's use that terminology. And these vertical OSs play a critical role in the day-to-day life of an SMB. Historically, that software has been a little bit more horizontal. That might have lived inside a QuickBooks or a Xero, where those SMB owners are spending a lot of their time. But with this increased verticalization, these owners and employees and customers are now all engaging within that vertical OS ecosystem, which gives that software company a huge advantage as it relates to data, eyeball share, and that's really sparked some interesting pieces here. And so what I've seen over the past 4 years is the stat coming from BCG is the percent of SMBs using vertical-specific software to run their business has increased 63% over the past 4 years. That's gone from 30% to 49%. So if we tie that back to embedded payments and what's been more transformative recently, I'm going to present a little bit of a hot take here for you, Bob. And I think there's been a number of interesting new technologies discussed. So embedded finance, AIML, we're still in some early innings across those pieces, as well as new focuses on regulation. These are all things you're going to hear in a lot of these year-end review type conversations within the industry. Instead, I'm going to go back to that data point about the verticalization of software. And as the technologies fostering these embedded payments evolve, software companies are now increasingly seeking these payment partners that are more consultative in nature, ones that can really understand these unique user flows presented in such specific verticalization and ensure that these financials experiences that are being created match the desired user experience that software company is going for. So we know software companies have a high bar for the customer experience. They've got a really good pulse on their intended customer journeys to solve their customers' jobs to be done. They're no longer satisfied with the part of that just simply enables payments or enables financial tools. They want to have a strategic conversation about how to activate that product within their environment most successfully. Is that a portal approach? Is an API approach? When and how are these payments functionality being presented within that journey? I think when done well, Bob, embedded payments lives up to the hype of that deeply embedded experience within these vertical OS ecosystems. They can really drive value for the SMBs. But when done poorly or simply plug and play, it can really actually cause friction that impacts that broader relationship. So that consultative piece has really become transformative over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Ian. I mean, I think especially as you look at these, you know, what you call the vertical OS or vertical operating systems, you know, we've seen that growth since we started Payrix several years ago, and it continues to expand. Also agree with you on the fact that these customers are demanding I wouldn't call it a bespoke experience, but I would say I think they're demanding an experience where it just further enhances their own customers' experience within their software. So I think it's super important that all providers out there continue to pay a lot of attention in that particular area. So no, I think you're spot on. But as we move to sort of 2024 and, you know, we kick this year off, where do you see really embedded payments, embedded fintech, embedded, you know, AI, all of that stuff evolving to?
Yeah. So since my transformative answer didn't relate as much to the technology itself, I'll speak more to that here. So let's start with risk and compliance. And that was the biggest theme I, among many others, picked up at Money 2020 this year. And that was for good reason. The payments industry is constantly evolving. We've got PCI Compliance 4.0 launching in February. The best payment partners are already on top of this and have additional technology that they can offer to their software partners to ensure protection within their ecosystem. As it relates to risk and compliance, I think surcharging is an interesting one that we need to keep an eye on. It's increasingly popular, but many merchants are doing this in a non-compliant way. And it's hard to manage. There's a lot of laws out there that vary state by state, and they're evolving even at the federal level on an almost quarterly basis. So staying on top of that is going to be really important. I think that we're going to continue to see strong demand for this type of experience, but it's critical to leverage one that's going to ensure compliance. Another one that has popped out more recently has been conversational commerce. And historically, people have called this text to pay, but I think it's actually much more than just text to pay. I'm willing to bet that many of the listeners here are doing so on their phones. It's the primary vehicle we use to engage with a lot of different interaction points. SMBs are picking up on this and learning to engage with their customers through conversation channels that oftentimes actually intersect with the payment functionality. So let's use a veterinary practice as an example. They may send a text to remind you of your dog's upcoming vaccination. You can book an appointment via text or mobile. You'll get an appointment reminder and can submit via text any questions for the vet in advance. So to date, nothing related to payments. If you need to drop off your dog, you get a text letting you know that your pet is finished at the end of that appointment. And then at the end of that, there's an easy click here to pay for that appointment so you can walk in, grab your dog, and leave. That same vet can also use some batch invoicing. So if there are collection pieces that they need to ensure they're getting, that can be done through these conversational commerce platforms. It's a really interesting piece that I'd like to keep an eye on. Omni capabilities, the shift online has obviously been happening for the past several years. That's not going to end anytime soon. But that being said, we live in an omni world, and many businesses require managing an in-person and online presence. A lot of payment players out there kind of grew up in either the card-not-present or card-present environment or moving toward the middle, typically only spiking in one area of that. I think where you're going to see people shine is folks who can offer a robust omni offering. And that's, you know, a reasonable selection of hardware devices for in-store use cases. But more importantly, that data synchronization and reconciliation across channels to make sure there's no loss in business intelligence. I think finally, you mentioned embedded finance. An interesting one to keep an eye on. I mentioned we're in the early innings on this piece. That embedded payment relationship, critical for software companies to get right. But when done correctly, these merchants are turning to their software providers for more financial products. Think lending, commercial cards that may be relevant to their vertical. And these embedded payment companies and their software partners have really started to see the opportunity to leverage that data sitting in existing payments integrations and make that a seamless experience. So a number of exciting things to keep an eye on, Bob, but that's what I'm most excited about for 2024.
You know, I think of a bunch of different things as I look to where are software companies or vertical operating systems, where are they going to be looking towards the future? And I guess, you know, what other changes might you see? I see international because, I mean, I just spent 5 months in Australia and I see the demand. You know, they have an Australian market, but clearly they need to grow outside of that market into places like the UK, US, Canada. That's where we normally see some of that growth. These vertical OS systems, how are they going to be serving their user base and their customer needs as time moves forward?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating piece. And I think that that plays nicely into why the selection of the partnership, particularly for embedded payments, matters here, Bob. As it relates to software companies and these partners, we got to move away from a one-size-fits-all partnership approach. We're an industry that goes through viral trends all the time. 15 years ago, integrated payment referral models were brand new and all the rage. And integrating that payment offering in your ecosystem and let the payment partner manage the operational pieces like sales and support, as well as risk underwriting, that really fit the job to be done across those pieces. And to your point, as these software companies evolved, they wanted to take on more, and that moves into the PayFac realm. And where do they think about global expansion across all those pieces? If we go back 5 years, there was a big narrative in the market around you have to become a PayFac so you can get the most revenue. You fully have to own the experience end to end. And that flash in the market pushed a lot of software companies towards a model that they weren't ever going to be set up for success in, given the sizable resource investment and ongoing complexity. I think we're at a moment now where this PayFac as a service model is really dominating the narrative in the market. And that's for good reason, but it doesn't mean the other model should fade away. So how should software companies think about servicing it? That starts with identifying the right fit model. The very best payment partners are the ones that can offer variations across each of those models, which ensures that during those initial conversations you have of whether this is a good fit or not, what are the needs of your customers, you're not forcing them into that one model. And you can use the analogy of if you're a partner and all you have is a hammer, well, everything's going to be a nail. But you want a payment partner that's got a really good hammer, but they also need to have a screwdriver and a wrench so you know you're getting the right tool for your job. And I think that's really important for the ongoing evolution of our market.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. And what's been great about Payrix becoming a part of Worldpay for Platforms is we now have the ability to offer the right fit for the, you know, for that particular vertical OS or software company. You know, I guess as you think about this, you know, how do you think partnerships can and should evolve for software companies and their embedded fintech partners? I mean, not just payment partners, but embedded fintech partners.
I think what's critical in this is the underlying customer journey. We started this off by saying there's been a transformative increase in the vertical specificity of software companies and the SMBs adopting this because people understand those unique workflows across all those people, all those pieces. So payments is one piece of that puzzle. You alluded to broader embedded finance tools. If a software partner has done the work to do an integration into the embedded payments piece, that's a logical party to have a conversation with. How else, from a financial lens, are you thinking about creating that offering? And we're seeing a lot of the merchants of these software partners of ours ask for an expanded suite. So it goes into, well, you already kind of have visibility into my day-to-day revenues to these payment flows. If you're a seasonal business, is there a natural point where lending in advance to spend capital for inventory, for instance, starts to make a lot of sense? It's happening at the time of need when done correctly. It's happening in that software partner's environment. And that's really what's going to maximize the value to the end customer. So where does the evolution happen here? It's in the spirit of this increased verticalization. How do you have a partner that really understands the nuances of those customer journeys, presenting the right fit product that are value additive at the right moment of need across those pieces?
Oh, yeah, I think you're spot on that, Ian. And I guess this brings us to the part of the discussion where I'd love to get some ideas on any predictions you might have for 2024. I might add a couple myself. Would love to hear your thoughts on what you think 2024 is going to bring in this particular space.
Yeah, and really interested to hear your thoughts too here, but I'll start off. I think compliance and regulation continue to steal the show. You're going to see ongoing discussions in Congress about legislation related to cards, notably Durbin and the CCCA. Card networks are going to become more involved as it relates to surcharging. As AI and ML use cases continue to mature, I expect to see regulation on how and when that can be used in various payment environments, in the risk and underwriting flows. A lot of exciting things happening there as that continues to mature. Embedded finance is certainly going to continue to mature. Embedded payments are going to continue to be that primary use case, But as we mentioned, the natural extension of this is just a broader suite of financial products that can drive real value in an embedded environment. It's still nascent, but I expect to see increasing demand from these SMEs for that broader suite. And we're only just beginning to understand the value that can be created with something like a bank account embedded within that software ecosystem that can play well with all the other data that's already sitting there, like lending, commercial cards, payroll, anything related to a bank account, treasury, APAR. There's really exciting use cases that we're just beginning to scratch the surface at. But Bob, what do you see, Bob?
So I do, you know, especially in the vertical OS system, I see the pushing towards payroll, embedded insurance, and, you know, anything that touches that particular software company and their customer. But I also believe that, following up on your point earlier about that journey, I also think the people that are now opening up small businesses that are using these vertical operating systems, they sort of demand that frictionless experience throughout. And that's something as simple as the reporting all the way through the actual transactions for their customer and their customer's customer. So I think a lot of effort is going to be spent focused on that. And I think there's going to be some opportunities for new ventures to jump into this and just make everything smooth. I also agree your point on risk. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting applications. You're starting to see some of them out there where consumers and small businesses can vault their information and keep that in one spot, which can be utilized across several different back-end providers, especially as, you know, different fintechs pop up that are more specialized, like embedded insurance or embedded payroll and things like that. So I think that's going to continue to be a big issue. But, you know, I'm super excited. I also think AI is going to start to play a role, but I think we're probably a little, you know, that's probably more of a 2025, 2026 deliverable for, you know, where this thing is actually going. But I think, again, focusing on that frictionless experience is going to be big in 2024.
Yeah, I was going to come back to that. I mean, that one just really resonates, is how do we continue to address friction? Because we live and breathe payments every day, given the line of work that we're in. Depending on the payment model you're in as a software company, it's a piece of the puzzle, but it's not what you wake up thinking about, nor should you be spending a lot of time thinking about if you've done this correctly with the right partner. It needs to just work, and you need a partner that's proactively thinking about how do I continue to unblock all of the friction-laden pieces within that journey. And it's easy to just go down the rabbit hole of, wow, there's all of these cool technologies and pieces that fit into it, but none of that means anything if it doesn't simply work when it needs to work in the first place. So that resonates a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, hey, we've done this to ourselves over a number of years. And what I mean by that is, I mean, obviously there's a lot of regulation anytime you're moving money, but we all use Uber and apps like that. We expect the experience to be that simple. I think our customers do. And in many cases, we've been able to get to that point, but I think that's going to continue to be a big point. Any last pieces of advice you'd like to leave for the vertical OS or the software companies that are out there listening to us?
Yeah, I think my guidance would be have conversations with humans. I mean, payments is incredibly complex. And as software continues to increase in specialization and verticalization, the benefits of picking up a phone and talking to people who can empathize with the unique needs of your customers is going to be a really worthwhile opportunity. Again, embedded payments done wrong can ruin the entire relationship between a software company and their customer. When done correctly, it's going to create a powerful connection where everyone wins and a foothold to an ever-expanding relationship. All of that requires really getting to know the nuances of these vertical-specific businesses, and that takes having a conversation. So that would be my parting advice here.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I couldn't agree with you more. Well, Ian, today is a special day for both of us, and it's bittersweet for me as I will be leaving Payrix and the WorldPay organization at the beginning of 2024. It's been quite a ride growing the business from a small startup, which was based above a chicken wing restaurant, a pizza shop in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. I think we had a couple $1 million in revenue, and now we're part of a global player in payment technology and the payment facilitation as a service. It was a fun ride. I've completely enjoyed being a part of the Payrix organization and really for playing a role in this PayFact podcast. And I want to thank all of our customers, our guests, our listeners, our employees, and everybody for the amazing support we've had over the past 5 years.
So Bob, I just want to echo on behalf of everyone at Payrix, I'm going to go ahead and speak on behalf of the listener base. I mean, this would take an entire episode's worth of time to recount the impact Bob's had, not just for Payrix, but truly for the entire payments industry. I mean, Bob has a storied career working for the biggest names in payments, established companies and startups alike. Bob had a vision for this podcast and really built out the following. The listeners here have had the privilege of getting to know Bob over these past 30 episodes, where he's covered a wide range of trends in the market, I know driven a lot of value for this listener base. So Bob, thank you from everyone here. It's just been a tremendous impact. We are sad to see you go, but know there are exciting things ahead and looking forward to keeping a close eye on all of that.
Well, I appreciate that, Ian. And I'm also really happy to welcome you, Ian Hillis, as the new host of the PayFact podcast brought to you by Payrix and Worldpay for Platforms. And I am super excited about where the Payrix and Worldpay business is going and where you're going to take the podcast in 2024 and beyond. So thank you for agreeing to step in as host of the PayFact.
I am humble and honored, Bob, and fully recognize the giant shoes. And if you know Bob, they're very stylish, trendy sneaker shoes that I'm going to need to be stepping into. But really excited for the path ahead and my commitment to channel my inner Bob across these episodes and bring some exciting things in the year ahead. So very excited for what's going forward on this particular podcast.
Well, thank you, Ian. And thank you for being on my final show of the PayFact. You know, we've spent a lot of time together over the past couple of years, and I know we're both big believers in sharing knowledge and experience. So we really appreciate you joining us today, and I'm looking forward to listening to your podcast going forward.
Thank you, Bob. It's going to be a blast.
Here at Payrix and Worldpay for Platforms, we want to be a trusted resource for software providers who are out there trying to make sense of embedded payments and finance, and to help them get the education they need to make the business decisions their customers and investors will thank them for. This is Bob Butler. And I want to thank you all for being a part of the PayFact.
Thank you for joining us today on the PayFact Embedded Payments Podcast, brought to you by Payrix. For more information about embedded payments, subscribe to our show at payrix.com/podcasts.